This is one of those memory verses we like to learn, and hopefully it's one of your best ones, because it really speaks to us. Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray this evening. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the fact that you have given all for us. But Lord, you desire us to give some to you as well. We have a responsibility to serve you, Lord, and I pray that you just speak to our hearts and guide us this evening and help us to know what you desire for us. And we just thank you for each person here this evening. I pray that you just touch each one as you see fit, Lord. Hide me behind your cross this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. How does a person truly serve Jesus Christ? You know, Conrad's been doing a great job showing us about what the church is, how the church works, the ordinances of the church, the responsibilities we have to the church, you know, being a good church member, being a good Christian. But there's something deeper than that. And it's something that we have to think about. Now you have the opportunity to live however you want to. You know, the Bible gives us, or Jesus gives us, God gives us, the freedom to decide how we're going to live, what we're going to do, who we're going to serve. You know, he gives us freedom of choice, and he does that because he loves us, and he wants us to be able to choose ourselves. And he is banking on the fact that we'll choose him, and we should. But to really be good and effective, it takes effort, obedience, sacrifice. You know, I know everyone knows what has taken place in the last week or two with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. It's been all over the news and the internet. And regardless, and I'm not trying to get political, because in my opinion, Charlie is one of the greatest Christian apologists we've had in the last century. An apologist is someone that argues for the cause of Christ. And he did it wonderfully. But why? You ever think about it? Why? Because, you know, if you watch, you can see it all over the internet when he debated. And man, I mean, they tore him up at times. I mean, he always come out ahead. But why did he go to the trouble? You know, why did he bother to let them cuss him out, to let them be so obstinate and so ugly to him? Why would he do such a thing? I think of one of my heroes long past, Jim Elliot, missionary to the Aki Indians in South America. You might have saw the movie. He allowed himself, him and his crew, fully armed, to be killed by the Indians who had primitive weapons. Jim and his crew had rifles, they had pistols, they were completely prepared, but they allowed themselves to be killed. That troubled me through my young ministry a lot. Why? Even more personal, how do we love unconditionally? When somebody's done something to us, and they've been ugly to us, and they've been mean, and they've been tacky, how do we love them? You know, the Bible says we are to love everybody, regardless. How do we do that? You know, I mean, really. How do we love somebody when we want to punch them in the teeth, and yet the Bible tells us to love them? Well, you know, Jesus loved us while we were yet sinners. He demonstrated his love toward us and died for us. God sent his Son to die for us while we were yet sinners, not when we got everything cleaned up, got everything right, but while we were at our worst. I don't understand that love. But that brings us to our scripture here. You know, we look at things. We think about giving sacrificially, giving our precious time, all the things that the Lord calls us to do. Well, I believe Paul the Apostle wrote the letter to the Galatians. He gives us the answer in our text in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Now, crucifixion was an ugly way to die. You know, they were nailed to a tree. They were hung, suspended off the ground, and they would slowly smother. You know, their arms were up and they would go down. And when they went down, they couldn't breathe. So they had to pull themselves back up with the nails through their wrists and you know, all the pain that they went through. It's an ugly way to die. And yet we are called to be crucified with Christ. Because you see, there's one place in their hearts where God belongs. The throne room. The throne room of our hearts. There's only one seat. And it's up to us as to who gets it. You know, the big I, me, I want this, I want that, I want to be special, I want to be famous, I want to be seen, I want to be heard, I want to be in charge. And so we have the audacity to go before God and say, you're going to have to get off that chair, I need it. And we put me in there. And when we do that, we are useless to the kingdom of God. You know, that's what we have to remember. It's what we have to understand. When it's all about us, it's about nothing. We can do nothing. We can reach no one. We can accomplish no thing. So we have to die to self. We have to be crucified. The old nature has to be put to death. We have to make a conscious decision that I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to take up my cross, as it says in Luke, daily. Got to do it every day. We got to start over every day. We have to begin again because we just can't stay where we need to be. We need to be made right. In order to do that, we got to get out of the way. Then it goes on to say, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new is come. When we're saved, we're cleansed. We are made new. We are born again. You know, Nicodemus, the Pharisee, he struggled with that. How can a man be born again? Can he go back into his mother's womb and start over? No, we don't have to do that, do we? We simply accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts, and we are washed clean by the blood of Christ. Isaiah says in 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Wow. That's where we need to be, isn't it? We need to be cleansed. We need to be made right. We need to be restored. We are emptied of that old nature. Now, the old nature don't go away. I mean, you know that if you're a Christian, if you live for Christ, that old nature's always around. He's always kind of like Satan. You know, Satan's a toothless lion, Mark Lowry said. He broke his teeth out on the cross. But old Satan's always there, and he's always saying, you know, oh, looky here, how about this? Would you like this? Man, this is fantastic. All you got to do is just take it. It's right here. Here. Man, it's great. It's free. It's wonderful. The problem is it leads to death. That's what the world offers us and how it offers us those things. We need to be emptied and filled with as much of the Holy Spirit as we will allow. Now again, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our heart. But he only takes as much room as we give him. I always compare the Holy Spirit to a house. You know, when we have somebody come to the house, y'all may be different from us, but we've got a room or two in the house that we'd just really rather you didn't go into. It might scare you to death. It might lower your opinion on us as people if you go in that room. But we do the same thing with God, with the Holy Spirit. You know, we let him in, and he's welcome in the living room, and he can even go in the kitchen, and he might use the guest bath. But now there's a room or two back there, Lord, really rather you didn't go into. So he doesn't. And we're not filled. We're occupied, but we're not filled. And, you know, to be filled, we've got to open every door of every room, and we've got to say, God, come on in here. You go in that room. You go in that room. You even go in that room. And then the Holy Spirit comes and he indwells us completely. But when we allow him to lead us, suddenly we've got a new motivation. Again, the scripture tells us we are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. If you're still living like you did before you were saved, you better kind of take a look at things. You might not be saved. If you don't have a new motivation, a new desire, if it doesn't bother you that you're doing the same things you used to do, then something may not be right. You need to look at that. You need to make sure you didn't make a head decision and not a heart decision. We need to be careful with that. Then the scripture goes on. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As new believers, we receive a new mindset, a new mind, a new way of looking at things. The Holy Spirit begins to bear new fruit in us. You know, because the old fruit didn't cut it. You know, the old thorns and thistles and briars and things that we brought with us didn't cut it. But Galatians 5:22 and 23 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Isn't that great? If we lived according to the fruit of the Spirit, and we lived each one of those fruits, we wouldn't need the law. Now, I know he's talking here about the law of Judaism, but still, if we lived that way, if everybody lived that way, if everybody loved their neighbor as themselves, if everybody cared about each other the way we care about ourselves, we wouldn't need law. We wouldn't need prisons. We wouldn't need jails. We wouldn't need anything because we'd be so busy taking care of each other. You know, we'd be great. Isn't that crazy to think about? And yet that was the plan. That was always the plan. There, he wanted us to bear fruit. He wanted us to love. He wanted us to have joy and peace and patience. And you know, you said, man, hadn't you looked in this world? You can't have those things. There again, in our flesh, uncrucified, we can't. But when we are crucified in that flesh and we have yielded ourselves to Him, then we can do it. Then we can love those that are unlovable. Then we can give sacrificially. Then we can serve. Then we can lay our lives down if it's called. Then we can be what God wants us to be because we got me out of the way. We don't realize how self-serving that we are sometimes. And I'm talking about myself. You know, preacher always, at least supposed to, talk about himself. You know, I preach to myself before I preach to others. I've got a lot of things in my life that need to be out of the way. I think we all do. You know, surrendering to preach doesn't mean that you left it all behind. We still are people. We still have our issues. But when we allow ourselves to be crucified, to put the things away of the world. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Man, Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, as we go through this world, we try to make a living, we try to make ends meet, we pray for our kids, we hope they make good decisions, we try to raise them up the right way, we try to deal with each other as Christians. Man, it gets old, it gets hard. It's hard to make a living. You know, I'm kind of in the early stages of Medicare here, and you know, my prescription plan, and it's maybe old hat to some of y'all, my prescription plan started at $9 a year. Okay, then it went up to, no, $9 a month. Then it went up to $45 a month. And I thought, boy, that's rough. Well, this year they popped up and said it's going to be $95 a month. And you can just take it out of your Social Security. It's no big deal. Well, it's not to them, but it is to me because that's part of what I live on. You know, man, it's tough. Times are hard. You know, I like a good ribeye steak, but good Lord. $14, $15 a pound, you know, I'm going to start cattle rustling, I guess. It's tough. It is. Nobody ever said it wouldn't be. But the Lord said He would be with us. He would help us. He would strengthen us. Again, He would allow us to come to Him when we're weary and burdened, and He would give us rest. Doesn't rest sound good? It does, doesn't it? I mean, we look at the burdens that we deal with, and rest sounds so good. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, the yoke represented the law of Judaism. They had what was called a yoke, and it was hard. You know, we know as you look through the Bible at how people tried to deal with the law. Nobody could keep it. It was impossible. If you broke one law, you've broken them all. So we say, well, man, I can't do that. And you're right. But Jesus came and He brought grace. That unmerited favor. I know you're going to fail. I know you're going to fall short. I know you're weak. I know you're sinful. But you know what? I love you anyway. I love you, and I will forgive you again and again and again and again. As you grow, as you stumble, I'll be there to help you get up. I'll be there to help direct you. I'll be there to speak to your heart. I'll be there to help you kind of put that spiritual Band-Aid on, whatever's needed. I'll be there. And we need that so badly. Nobody knows your heart and loves you anyway but Jesus. You know, we hide from each other pretty well. You know, the word hypocrite, we hate that word. It's an ugly word. But the word hypocrite simply means one who wears a mask. And we all wear masks. I'm not ever going to show you who I really am exactly. I'm going to be polite. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be kind as I can be. I'm going to do the best I can to be a good person in front of you. I'm not ever going to show you everything. And you're not ever going to show me everything. We're just not. But the Lord sees everything because we are transparent before Him. Our hearts are open before Him. And He sees exactly who we are. And He loves us anyway. Isn't that incredible to think about? That He loves us anyway? Regardless of how we have failed, how we've fallen short, how we have to drag up again and again and say, Lord, I'm sorry. He forgives. Again and again and again. Wow. He sees you differently than you see yourself. You know, you go to the mirror in the morning and you look at yourself and you think, oh man, I wish my ears weren't so big. Or I wish my eyes were more even. Or I wish that I had more hair or something. You know, I wish that I didn't weigh so much. Or I wished I weighed more. Or you know, we look at ourselves. But you know what? The Lord looks at us. God looks at us through Jesus. And He says, you are worthy. You are beautiful in my sight. And why not? He created us. He made each one of us exactly the way He wanted to do it. He loves us completely. We talked about this in Sunday school a while back, but you are chosen. He has chosen you. He wants you. He desires you. You know, we still bear the pain of the old school days when you get picked last for games and you get overlooked or you get cheated on by a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a teacher's mean to you or somebody bullies you. You know, we carry all that stuff forever. But God doesn't see us that way. He sees us as perfect. When we give ourselves to Him, when we are crucified to the flesh, we come into the arms of someone that loves us unconditionally. Isn't that a wonderful word? Unconditionally. Not if you'll do this, or if you'll do that, or if you'll straighten up, or if you'll quit being what you are, then I will love you. He just said, man, I love you just the way you are. And it is so encouraging to think about. That's why we realize that crucifixion to self is worth it. It's worth it. Because, you know, the world's not going to do that for you. The world's always going to look down on you. It's always going to point out your faults, your flaws, your troubles, your pains. It's always going to magnify those things. But when we yield ourselves to Him, then we come to the one that truly cares. So how do we truly serve Christ? We die to self. And we live to Him. We put ourselves in His hands. We can lay aside the burdens and the hurts and the pains from all those that maybe we trusted one time or another. And we can put ourselves in His hands. And let Him direct us. Let Him guide us. Let Him lead us. Because you know what? He knows the other end. He knows the end of the story. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And next year. And next, you know, on and on and on. He knows. And we can know and trust that He'll lead us in the right and true way. Because who else has died for you? Who else has given all that they had for you? Who else has taken your place? When you deserve the cross, who else came up and said, wait a minute, I know He deserves it. He earned it. But I'm going to take it. I'm going to take His place. That's the Lord we serve. That's who is worthy of us allowing ourselves to die to self. You have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we thank You so much for what You've done. We really cannot understand why You'd go to so much trouble for us. And yet You willingly, You eagerly took our place. You paid the price. You died for our sins. And You made it possible for us to have eternal life in heaven. You made it possible, if we just ask You to be our Lord and Savior, You made it possible for us to have eternity. To walk those streets of gold, to go through those gates of pearl, to have the tears wiped from our eyes. You made it all possible, Lord. And we just praise You and we thank You. And all You desire is that we yield to You, to let You truly be Lord. I pray You'd help us be willing to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.